Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Very exciting times. There are some people who are disliking the thumbnail. Perhaps it's on the basis that they don't agree with a Groiper war. Personally, I'm very enthusiastic about what could come out of a Groiper war, both in the progress that it could help with right-wing politics in America and in Mimetics also. It's going to be fun. The Groipers are a fun bunch. And last time I criticized them, and I did my video, I think it was like 5 or 6 years ago. My video was 20 lessons for the Groipers. And because they failed, at some point they failed. Although, you know, when you look back, even in their failure and how they were excluded from the right by the Charlie Kirks of this world, if you look back in the end, they have integrated a lot of talking points that today a Charlie Kirk will say that that would have been a Groiper talking point 4 years before. So there has been a history of effective mimetics for the Groipers, and they have succeeded at forcing the officials of the center-right, the TPUSA types, to either fail or eventually change their position more toward the Groipers. So personally, I think there could be some good things coming out. And given the state of the Trump campaign, I think it's the best we can hope for. The idea that at least we will be able to learn from the mistakes of Trump and not repeat them in the future. I didn't know that this existed. Apparently, there's a kind of layer on cars, and it can inflate. This was after a heat wave. A heat wave came in and inflated the wraps of the car. Wow, it is so sealed. It is... so sealed that it's basically a balloon wrapped around your car. And so when heat accumulates, I guess there's some sort of gas pressure that's deployed inside, and you get this huge inflation. Interesting phenomenon. I think this was from China. This is quite stunning. These videos that are published by the trans person who is the child of Elon Musk. This is the son of Elon Musk, and you can see in his face. Elon Musk, transgender son, admits to having daddy issues. You can see in the face of this person, you can see Elon Musk. Those are the genes of Elon Musk. It's stunning to be looking at basically a self-destructive son who was raised by his mother. And I think it's an occasion to talk about daddy issues, because there's kind of an androgynous conception of daddy issues, because the responsibility in our society always falls back to the male. It's either the male or it's no one's fault. But in this case, this is a case of divorce where the mother took full custody of the child. So those are not daddy issues. Those are mommy issues. The reason the son of Elon Musk didn't grow up more healthily like his other children is that they were deprived of contact with Elon Musk, and probably at the wish of the mother, who got full custody and who sterilized her son. So they published these videos on TikTok where there's a pre-made audio and pre-made kind of music.
Y'all, this is my bitch Scotty,
and I'm from the South.
She runs the South.
And on the screen it says she's famous for having daddy issues. This is the kind of content you can get from the son of Elon Musk, who is currently trancing toward the female appearance. You don't have daddy issues. Whatever, Vivian, you don't have daddy issues, Vivian. The issue is your mother, and the issue is that your mother didn't want you to have a daddy. This meme has been hilarious. It's been rolling for a couple of days. What happens when you get employed in the tech world as a male?
Hot mom and a mini dress. Hot mom and a mini dress. Daddy bus and no pants. Gen Z Slater, whoop. Gen Z Slater, whoop. Gen Z Slater, whoop. That sneaker and rope case. Red nails and a Stanley Cup. Red nails and a Stanley Cup.
I push my fingers until my eyes.
Jim and Pay got bring it back. Jim and Pay got bring it back. Jim and Pay got bring it back. It's giving millennial core. It's giving millennial core. It's giving millennial core. Women should go back to the kitchen. Women should go back to the kitchen. Women should go back to the kitchen.
That is exactly how it must be. These women constantly doing anything else than coding. And Frederick von Finkel says, what are they doing? It was a... A moment, they were doing some feminist stuff, and it was like a woman showing themselves on camera, and they were doing this song. So all of these segments, they come from an old wave of meme from a couple of months ago. I don't exactly remember what started it, but they were making these songs in trio on the workplace, and they were bragging about how they were boss babes and that kind of stuff. So that's where it comes from, and it must be quite the headache to be the only person understanding engineering in those places. With all the marketing department woman around you singing. John Drake says, I can't wait until these worthless jobs evaporate. Exactly. We all know what's happening. The system is designed. It absorbs money, it wastes it on these employment opportunities, and then slowly it boils down to the essential. But it can be quite painful waiting for the boiling down. By the way, if planes are starting to fall from the sky, one of my predictions on Christmas 2023 was that 2024 would be the competency crisis would be illustrated by events like planes falling from the sky. We literally have planes falling from the sky. And they're falling exactly like you would think if you would call this just straight out falling. This is not like an attempt at saving the plane. It's literally the plane just falls. Here we go, the competency crisis. There was a time where you were relatively safe in planes. We are headed toward an era where people who have been hired are unable to operate properly the technology that were invented before them. OnlyFans woman wins the Olympics and she starts twerking to celebrate her medal. OnlyFans pole vaulter Alicia Newman twerks after winning medal at Olympics. Cultural appropriation here, twerking. Twerking is such a bad societal movement. I would recommend shaming it. I would recommend not having twerking at all anywhere, not allowing it if we can. Tasty Toast says, Nick declares Groiper War. Which brownoid pedo is he in love with now that everyone hates? you're referring to Ali, who was exposed. I've never thought that the story around Ali reflects poorly on Nick Fuentes. I've always made the case here on the show that Ali's wrongdoings, they they don't spread to Nick Fuentes the way these crowds wanted us to believe when they started this mimetic wave. Now, it would be unadvisable for Nick Fuentes going forward to associate with Ali Alexander. But when you're associating with someone, when you're interacting with someone, you don't want to be punished for any of their future exposed wrongdoings. Maybe he didn't know, maybe the allegations didn't seem serious, and eventually the allegations seem more and more serious, and you can't be the prosecutor of criminal matters. You can't say, oh, well, because there's rumors around this guy, I dissociate. No, that doesn't work. If we do this, we do the system of canceling, cancel culture, guilt by association, the very system I've been combating forever on the internet. So no, I will never do what these anti-Fuentes people on the internet are trying to do, which is to force guilt by association between Nick Fuentes and Ali Alexander. So let's talk about the Groyper War and what we can expect from it. Last time, what was the Groyper War 1? Well, it was an excitement of Groypers around America, going to places like TPUSA event, Charlie Kirk events, and making the queue to ask Q&A questions and to force the team of Israel, of white existence, white rights, onto a center-right that was refusing to engage on these two points. To basically make the center-right face the contradictions of their positions with a truly based right-wing position. And although it failed at times, and I've been informing the Groypers and trying to counsel them, when you look back at it, overall, it was a positive event. It's an event that makes it such that today, Charlie Kirk is pretty much where the Groypers were 4 years ago. So he's 4 years late on the memes, basically. And this is why you see a white boy summer t-shirt with Pozo at this TPUSA event. They truly are 4 years late on everything, on thinking, on the memes, on the goals, on the positioning of the right wing. So what this Groyper War 2 would be, it's very similar to Groyper War 1, but instead of being pulled against the low levels of the center right, the low levels talking heads of the public space, Nick Fuentes proposes a frontal attack against the Trump campaign, naming and targeting Trump for a Groyper psychological operation. I love the idea. Nick Fuentes points out, in the past 3 months, the Trump campaign has threatened to bomb Iran, promised green cards to foreign students, pledged to hire Nikki Haley, chose a never-Trump CIA-backed vice president, disavowed Project 2025 loyalist. What has MAGA become? That is true. It is exactly these points that we've been complaining about for months. And Nick Fuentes comes out, and let's see his announcement here.
Dare I say it? I am declaring a new Groyper war against the Trump campaign until we can figure out what the hell is going on. I'm declaring a new Groyper war. You have alienated us. You have ignored us. You don't listen to our concerns. We have been left behind. The Trump movement and the GOP have moved on without us. It serves Israel and corporations and immigrants, but it doesn't serve Native Americans. What about Native Americans? What about Americans? What about young white men? And others too. But what about us? Charlie.
The emotion with which he says, what about us, reminds me of the last episode where this guy, this weird, like, arch enemy meets Jacob, and he yells, what about me? I have memories of Lost. The Lost was such a terrible show for what they did on the last episode. What a bunch of crap. But before that, it was an exciting show.
Charlie Kirk is to the right of Trump on immigration? That's unacceptable. So I think it's time for another Groiper war.
Ture says, all I want to say is they don't really care about us.
Bigger, better, stronger than ever. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Rumble. This is a big live stream every night. We have allies, so I think it's time to up the ante a little bit. Joker 2 is premiering in October.
Yes, that is so awesome. I can't wait for Joker 2.
Joker 2, 5-year anniversary. The show is back. We're opening the chest. I think it's time for Groiper War 2. And this time, we're going all out. Justice once. And we will bring the energy. It's just a question of whether they want to get on board or get out of the way. That's the question. But the Groipers will bring the energy. Memes, edits, replies, trolls. Get with us or get the fuck out of the way. Groiper War 2 coming soon.
All right. Well, that is quite an exciting announcement. It's quite daring to be making an announcement in advance because on the internet, you never know if the crowds are going to follow. You never know if you're going to succeed at creating some event. But I understand the confidence of Nick is his way of making things happen as have been working. So I guess he will apply the same ingredients that he's been learning across the years. But it's very hard to think, okay, I'm going to declare in advance that a mimetic campaign has begun. Normally on the internet, traditionally, we talk of wars and we talk of wars in the past. You know, when Sargon of Akkad came out with the term, I don't even remember what he called it, but he called it something war, you know, the great meme war, the great meme war 2 of the internet. It was after in looking back, but it's very interesting to see for the first time of my life, I think, I'm seeing a psyop being deployed publicly and in advance. I'm very excited because the Groipers is many thousands of people who are all day on the internet. They can make things happen. They can decide that a meme makes it, and that means increasing pressure onto Trump, where either Trump will have to fold on these issues and accept to give something away. Even if it's a symbolic promise, or even if it's mentioning white heterosexual males. But he's going to have to give something to whites, because the whole sense of 2016 was to say, all right, whites are going to become a minority no matter what we do. And the whole sense was, well, let us take consciousness of our existence as a group. Take consciousness of the fact that as the biggest group, as the biggest minority, if you will, although we're still a majority, but we're headed toward minority. But as the biggest majority or minority, we will have to organize and demand things. So to me, it's very current. It's very important today that we enter the arena of politics by changing it. So we're no more accepting that the general program of a party is all for us. No, because we see all of these special things being given. Special things to immigrants, green cards to immigrants, special things to black, black jobs, special thing to this, special thing to that, special things to Israel. And at this point, we want our special thing, and we will measure the validity of a party's program by how many special things, what is the value of what you've brought to white people. And to change the mind, the mentality around this, or to rather than say, oh, every aspect of a political program is for me, and then I assume that they're good for me, and then the rest, okay, I hope it's good for the blacks, I hope it's good for the Muslims. We have to revert the assumption. By default, every aspect of a political platform is not for us, because that's the reversal that needs to happen. It's that you need to assume that all of these throwing money out the window practices are all at your disadvantage, because in the end, Honest John says, paid by white tax dollars. In the end, that's it. Any program is money taken away from you and given to someone else, and given sometimes to morally objectionable ends. So we have to change the mentality of the crowds such that going forward, every single thing that you propose to me, it's a no. I hate it. Until you explain to me how whites benefit from it. And so if you have a program of 600 pages, that's 600 pages of me getting fucked in the ass. And then go ahead and tell me what you have for me. Now, when we do that exercise with the Trump platform, the answer for now is nothing. Nothing, literally nothing. And in fact, it's less than 2016. Basically, the Trump campaign has been bought out by interests that apparently control it so hard that we can't get a little breadcrumb. So totally justified here and totally in line with the philosophy that has developed on the right since 2016. This philosophy of we need to set up a future in which white people understand themselves as a group and demand political advancement. Rodi Lacid says, I mean, Israel just assassinated two Iranian leaders. How hard would it be for them to bump Nick off? Yeah, but they just don't do this. They just don't do it because it's hard to get murderers going in the US, and you run the risk of getting caught, and so the opportunities don't always show up. Which is this kind of, it's hard to kill someone without getting caught, is basically the small thread by which people like me and Nick Fuentes still have freedom of speech. It's not that they can't kill us, they certainly can. It's that it's a little hard, and oh, we don't quite have the budget, and we don't quite have an assassin at this particular location, and oh, we might get caught, and so there are risks. That is, I mean, people may not understand, but that is the thin layer of safety on which someone like me lives. Rodi Lacid says, a few weeks ago, they just took a shot at Trump. Yeah, exactly. They did it, and see how it blows back. So it's very hard to have someone competent do it and succeed at it, and with all the self-defense and means of counter-defense that must be there. You know, it's not like there's a they and they control the world so much that they can neutralize all police in the way. There are still controls that make life hard for assassins. Anon says, if any significant public figure in the U.S. were really a threat to Jewish power, they would be silenced. The Trump shooting was fake. Well, putting aside your opinion on the Trump shooting, the thing is, yes, voices against Jewish power have been silenced. you think it comes from nowhere, the fact that people like me are targeted for demonetization on YouTube, and you think it comes from nowhere, these rules that they come up with that are specifically targeted against shows like mine. You are totally deluded if you think that there is not a heavy, in fact, an entire industry based around the silencing of specific political voices. You haven't followed. You are beside reality. So fuck you for coming here and sharing your uninformed opinion. Trump also, just like you, see, is deluded. Trump is deluded. The crowds of the UFC would follow Rogan over Trump anywhere. So Trump is out there on Truth Social today saying it will be interesting to see how loudly Joe Rogan gets booed the next time he enters the ring at the UFC. Interrogation mark, MAGA 2024. That's because Joe Rogan backed RFK Jr. Trump is absolutely deluded if he thinks that he's come to be a higher favorite for the UFC crowds than Joe Rogan is. Joe Rogan is a serious guy of the UFC who has been there from the very early UFC moments, and he is revered in this community more than anyone else, more than any fighter, indeed. You will not get a booing of Joe Rogan because Joe Rogan doesn't vote for Trump. Are you fucking kidding me? Trump is losing it. That's the problem. Trump is losing support, losing interest, and he's not responding properly. He's in denial of reality. I hope that reality sets in over the next weeks, and perhaps Groyper memes will make him realize just how bad he's been performing. But yeah, there's a fundamental problem here. And I had mentioned back many months or even years ago, I don't remember, but I said, I don't know if you can win an election by denying being on Twitter. I don't know if you can win an election from the backdrop of your Truth Social. And we are faced here with the fact that Trump has given up too many outlets. He's given up too many connections. He's given up his connection to the far right by basically pushing them aside and ignoring them. He's given up his connection with the general public by being on Twitter and, you know, causing the event, causing the mediatic storm every morning. It's a weak campaign. Anon says, Groyper memes do not influence policy. Well, we'll see this. We will see. If they don't, I think that we may be headed toward a defeat. I think you may be right that Groypers may not succeed at convincing Trump to listen to them. But I think that if he doesn't listen to them, we might be headed toward a massive defeat of Donald Trump, and one that I would be forced to celebrate, because we don't want a George Bush era again for the Republican Party. We want the Republican Party to learn once and for all, you never do this to us again. Never. We will never vote for an elite disguised as a revolution. John Drake says, Zionists are Trump's closest advisors. What did we expect? Exactly. But you know, I think that the offer of the Groypers basically right now with this war is, we're going to challenge you. We're going to start the mimetic waves against you. And it will come in waves, and it will be painful. Like, it's not going to be tomorrow that anything happens. It's going to be, hey, going forward, you have tens of thousands of social media accounts that are all less convincible, that are less cheering of the Trump memes. And in fact, they are pulling into other directions. And this grueling effect of a Groyper war is what ultimately will combine with crashes in the survey, will combine with actual measures of Trump losing support increasingly, because I don't think he's reached his bottom yet. I think he may reach his bottom in about two months, maybe at the end of August, September. Now, when Trump is truly in deep shit, he's gonna have to think twice whether he goes on with the same team or whether he does something like, you know, perhaps the most outrageous, the most, like that would be a level of success that I would count as a 12 out of 10, is if Trump decides to have a one-hour conversation with Nick Fuentes and says, all right, tell me your views. And that would be a huge success of this campaign. Now, I'm not going to set it as the only measure of success, because it's kind of, it would be surprising with his current entourage that he would do this. But when you think about it, the idea that Trump has had dinner with Nick Fuentes is already out there. It already happened, you know? So it could happen again, and it wouldn't be much of a hit to Trump's reputation. And Blessing says, Nick J. Fuentes and JF are media heroes. Trump, at age 77, unfortunately may have dementia. Trump's actions are increasingly random, unfocused in his behavior, approaching Biden 2.0. Yes, unfortunately, that's where we're at. But I think that it's very good that the Groypers are putting it on the record that they don't consent. So that if Trump loses, when we count the bodies, when we walk on the ashes of the Republican Party as it stands, there are going to be proper diagnosis needed. And if they don't do the proper diagnosis, then they're going to lose forever. Going to lose forever. Shady Jesus says, Trump disavowed Project 2025 six times, but they're still trying to marry him to the far right. Well, yeah, so it's like you'll never get the leftist media to leave you alone and say you're not far right. So what is Trump trying to accomplish by making his base more hostile? It's like, the Project 2025 guys, I don't even know them. I don't care about them that much. But I'm sure those are potential, you know, Trump voters. And to drop them under the bus like this, however many voters they represent and whatever the size of the actual group is, you just threw these people under the bus. Anon says, Trump survived that assassination just as much as he survived being body slammed on a table in WWE. Well, this is true. He did survive both events. Harris's big gift to Trump, if he uses it, Harris' selection of Waltz at least reveals the left's full bore agenda, something that previously her handlers seemed at pains to hide. An overt doubling down on the Biden neo-socialist record that will require a far more vigorous stealth 90-day campaign to camouflage the hard-left record of both Harris and Waltz. So here the theory is, Harris is far left. By selecting another far-left person as her vice president candidate, she hasn't tried to kind of reconciliate with the center. In fact, she has demonstrated more communism, more extremism, which is a correct analysis. But I don't think they're going to pay the price for this, because the population has already been changed toward increasingly far left. The normies are far left. You know, that there's a mass of people that accept all this trans stuff and that are cheering for free healthcare and that kind of stuff. And in the end, the contrast is not strong enough, because I don't feel that under Trump, we have a combating of the far left that is solid enough. I don't have a right-wing pillar in Trump. I have a statist who will continue to grow the state, to grow the size of the government, or to keep it stable, but who's certainly not going to drain it away. So it's like, okay, you want me to be alarmed at the communism of Waltz and Kamala Harris? But I'm alarmed at the communism of Trump. I'm alarmed that this is as far as it gets on the right in America, which is the center left. Swing It says, let's hope Barron gets radicalized by all this fiasco instead of getting Jewish handlers. So much hope. So much hope is being put on Barron. I'm afraid that he can't handle it. I'm afraid it's too much to ask for a young man. People are hoping that he will have a feeling of revenge, that he will become a super political extremist. And now you're hoping that he will have a zero Jew counseling team. It's not happening because DK Shadow says no chance he will escape the handlers. Layers. Yes. Especially when you come from a very rich family like this, he's already being handled. He's already being groomed. Yes. So it's very hard to get. You know how he attracted Aden Ross to meet his father. He didn't attract Nick Fuentes. He attracted Aden Ross. So apolitical kind of. I mean, he's a Trump supporter, obviously, but kind of an apolitical streamer of sorts, not a thinker. Western Kind United says, here are some shekels for Papa JF. Thank you very much for the donation. Libs of TikTok publishes a long Facebook post that explains a parent in Rockwall Schools alleges that her pre-K son was sexually abused by a teacher. The teacher allegedly stuck her fingers in his butt, molested him, and locked herself in the bathroom with him to touch him and show him her parts. The school allegedly deleted the video footage. They told the mom to keep it quiet. The principal allegedly said that it's in the past and they should move on. You're never going to get justice. The systems of lies and of let's not get in trouble and that keeps these abusers in place is what you trust your children to when you send them to public school. So don't do it. UK court sees no difference between physical violence and online comments. Three people have been sentenced in relation to riots that took place in Leeds. However, only two of them were physically involved in the events. So just cheering for the protest to happen was enough to get 20 months of jail. Jordan Parler, 28, who wasn't at the riots, was jailed for 20 months for publishing written material online intended to stir racial hatred. The UK is absolutely done. I mean, they kind of did this to Richard Spencer in the US. This whole, well, you are the organizer of a protest. If the protest turns violent in any way, any individual in the protest, you're responsible for them. That is absolute nonsense. But we have made this nonsense in the US, and it's going to the UK also. Another case that gets labeled as an event of hate speech is Christine Lughead, 51, from Canada, was arrested 3 days ago on August 6th for tweets and is being charged with two counts of public incitement of hatred and willful promotion of hatred. Now, her phone has been confiscated and she's been banned from using the internet. Now, she was extreme. I've not been following her stuff, but today I researched about what are the allegations. She was truly radical. Now, I don't think that any sort of speech crime should be existing. But in her case, she was calling for the full deportation of people. Now, that to me should be protected by something like the First Amendment. But in Canada, we don't have the First Amendment. So that's one of the things. Now, she was also doing stuff like filming herself going to butcher shops that are halal and replacing, inserting bacon, inserting pork, and you know, pork meat into the halal sections. Okay. At this point, that could be a crime. See that, because you're forcing. It's like even from just a food safety handling perspective, you are forcing someone to perhaps eat meat that they don't want to eat. You are messing with the ingredients. That is kind of culinary fraud, and that I'm okay that it's a crime. She was identifying as a racist and you know, praising racism. She was saying her handle on Twitter, and she's been banned, but her handle was "Racism is the cure." So I'm against speech violations. I don't think she should be judged for speech violation. And I live by the standard of the First Amendment. Now, I also try to respect Canadian laws to the best of my ability. I don't want to violate Canadian law. But I think it's the slippery slope is very scary from, okay, she's an extremist. But maybe in 2 years from now, because of something I say, I become the extremist. Like, where does it stop? Where does this slippery slope of speech stops? What I would prefer is that we have a strong First Amendment rights protecting speech. And then, yeah, go ahead and prosecute her for doing this dirty stuff with the meat or harassing people, you know, because she was going at people and against their consent, talking to them and saying racist stuff to them and saying racist slurs to them. My fear, like, you should be arrested for harassment and for ingredient meddling in the grocery store. You shouldn't be arrested for speech, because I don't know where the speech rules stop. Defenestrator says there should only be a slippery slope into the ocean. Okay. What does that mean? John Drake says it will be enforced retroactively. That's the scariest part. Yes, when does the regime stop? You know, do they stop at some girl like her, or do they eventually try to do like YouTube did, which is go after guys like me? It's a thread, ladies and gentlemen. The matriarchy is a thread. Grimes has understood that if artificial uteruses become available, women will be an accessory in reproduction. They will become unneeded. And so she says some delusions around capitalism, and I have a high IQ. I understand a lot of stuff, and even delusional thinking and delusional talking, I understand. I don't know what she means by her first sentence. What they don't tell you is that capitalism itself is the most obvious vehicle for intelligence and evolution. I don't know what that means. A vehicle? Does capitalism carry intelligence and evolution? Does it enact intelligence and evolution? Does it allow intelligence and evolution to exist? It's not clear to me. Anyways, let's keep reading because that's where it becomes about reproduction. She says, the real danger is the eternal sentient economy. Again, delusional thinking. Once the market can think for itself, it will eradicate women and create factories to grow babies in order to obtain infinite consumers. Not to terrorize everyone with another conspiracy theory. It's such low-level thinking. It's like, Grimes, read the revolutionary phenotype. This is so much clearer, and it's so much a better illustration of the concepts you're trying to talk about. Because, yeah, it's like, no, there will not be a conspiracy of companies trying to create consumers. That is the most inefficient model ever. You know, let the consumers create themselves and produce the products that they will buy. But what will happen is, yes, there will be an unhealthy cycle between profits, human existence, and the human genetic direction. That will happen. And read chapter 12 of this book if you want to understand the dangers of this. But that being said, that is Grimes realizing that woman will be eradicated. Now, she mistakenly attributes this to the market. No, Grimes. It's not the market that will lead to the eradication of woman. It's men. And men having an option. Because when we have the option of uteruses, of artificial uteruses, it means at very low cost, we can avoid all of the trouble of the mental derangement of a wife, all of the trouble of the mental instability, of the desire for control, of the nagging, of the dependency, of the annoyment. So you have to make the offer of marriage extremely interesting before I will even consider not going for the artificial insemination route of an artificial uterus. You have to be very pleasant. Now, as it turns out, with my current girlfriend, it turns out I would choose the current girlfriend. But in most points of my life, in most relationships of my life, I would have run for the artificial uterus, yelling, please save me. So what I wrote on Twitter is, Grime properly understands that the free ride and crazy behavior of women will not be sustainable once we have artificial uteruses and we can choose between being nagged to death by some fat 2 out of 10 or pay a small fee to use the artificial uterus instead. The realization that Grime should come at, and she doesn't come to it, but what she should understand is, A, you just realize that your insane behavior is unsustainable. And you shouldn't want to stop it for yourself because you're afraid that woman will disappear in a theoretical future. You should stop this behavior because it's a pain for your husband. You should stop this behavior because you're inducing pain onto our civilization for nothing. If you do realize that it's a self-destructive path to the point that you will be excluded from the reproductive cycle of humanity, isn't it time for you to fix it? To become a better wife? That is, it's like, instead of, they can think 1,000 years into the future, rather than thinking about the immediate reality and how, yeah, you could stop being crazy now. It's like, no, but we're going to have to stop being crazy at some point in the next 1,000 years because artificial uteruses are coming. And at that point, we can't be crazy anymore. Why don't you fix it right now? For your husband, for the people, for Elon Musk, who gave you a baby. Putin is said to be stunned by Ukraine's shock attacks on Kursk and Lipetsk. I've not covered these attacks in depth. We can see some some attacks, and there was a penetration in the territory with hundreds of guided bombs and 75 aircraft type drones, many of them intercepted. But it seems that some have made their way to destroying areas like this one here, totally destroyed. I mean, that's a consequence of the soft approach of Putin, who's been refusing to attack Ukraine at its heart. Like, Putin thinks he can slowly take Ukraine by fighting a traditional war at the front line, while Ukraine gets infinite amounts of money and isn't accountable, that doesn't pay the price of its deep incursion. If Papajev was the strategist of this war, Papajev would hit Kiev immediately from the start of this war. It would be totally abolished. I would give the chance to the civilian populations to run. I would say in 48 hours, Kiev is a parking space. You do what you want with this knowledge. And the civilians would flee the city. And then I would just deconstruct Kiev. You know, deconstruct, undo the building of this city. And then you would have a military command that would be distributed, that would know that every time we do an incursion in Russia, every time we attack civilians in Russia, every time we go up to blow a bridge in Russia, we're going to be punished by losing one of our big cities and wherever it is that we're organizing. And eventually you go city by city, you destroy all of the big cities until the other side stops attacking you. Swing It says, you don't win war by destroying Kiev anyway. No, but you may have leverage and you may have fear. Now, once you are at your seventh city, now you've destroyed all of the electrical capabilities of Ukraine, you've destroyed any sort of functioning of the roads, you've eradicated the seven biggest cities. Now you're at your eight cities. Western Khan United says, totally crushed their will to fight. Exactly. Now you're at your eight cities and you're like, all right, if you keep attacking us, I'm going to deconstruct this eight cities. Are you sure you want to do it? And it needs to be like over punishment. You need to escalate more. But somehow Putin is a romantic guy. He's trying to win this war on a horse, chest naked. You have to have some respect for the guy for this, but it's like, bro, it's ridiculous. Attaway says, the war is being forced to be lengthened from both sides. I mean, that's what I'm bound to believe at this point, given the slow progress of Putin. But also, you know, it may be part of his strategy that he's stronger on the side of war by attrition. So maybe he still thinks he's stronger on that side, and therefore he doesn't seek quick revenge. Shady Jesus says, Russia has a history of meat grinding to victory. Yeah, they've done this again and again, apparently. So that's what Russia does. But you don't quite meat grind Ukraine the way you can meat grind Syria. That's the problem. Ukraine is a complex and large entity, you know, and without hurting the centers, the big centers, you are letting something exist that truly can hurt you. And here, I mean, I think the media may be overestimating the hurt here, because we're talking about superficial incursions, destruction of certain military locations, couple hundreds of bombs, many of them neutralized. Maybe it's not dramatic. Anon says, it's hard to know how many generals have truly died, or total losses for that matter. Yes, I agree. Pentagon refuses to rule out strikes on Moscow in a shocking exchange on Ukraine's incursion into Kursk. So the person representing the US saying it would be consistent with our policy potentially to target Moscow if that was needed. Oh, and the guy that was jailed for 20 months for a tweet, we have the video of the judge with his ridiculous wig. This is the fade. This is the wig of anti-free speech, the wig of fascism. This guy explains that he's going to give 20 months to the guy for a tweet.
Did for sentence, having pleaded guilty to an offence of publishing written material, which is threatening, abusive, or insulting.
Threatening, abusive, or insulting. This is way too loose of a standard. Insulting? Now, can I be insulted? No, JF, you can't be insulted because you're a white male. Now, can the black man be insulted? Of course he can. Of course he can. So we have a double standard of right in this very concept of insulting.
Intending thereby to stir up racial hatred. The context of your offending is that it arises out of the civil unrest and disorder in many parts of the United Kingdom. Police were called, and on the third, similar attacks to the hotel were launched. You took to social media in order to encourage others towards participation in the attacks.
Encourage others toward participation in the attacks. What if he doesn't know that there's going to be trouble? What if he doesn't know that it's a riot? What if he thinks that there are legitimate reasons to get out there and protest? Arker Bradford says, Jeff, I'd buy your book, but I can't read. If I buy your book and bring some raw chicken over to fry, will you read me your book? Thank you, sir. Well, I did already read my book to you. It's available as an audio book. So you can totally buy The Revolutionary Phenotype as an audio book on Audible. Just go on Audible and buy it. And I'm going to be for like 7-8 hours. I don't remember the exact duration. But for 7 or 8 hours, I'll be slowly whispering into your ear the truths of biology. The bird flu says the audiobook has epic music. Yeah, I added this music because I thought it could lead to some in-between relaxation. That give a tone to the book. Some people don't like the music, but you can skip it. So it's like, yeah, there's music that I've selected, which I find connects to the themes of the book. If you don't like it, you just click forward chapter. That is it for tonight, boys. Thank you for being with me. John Gora says, I love the trying to stir up racial hatred line. There is racial hatred on both sides. Putting a shit poster in jail does nothing. Yes. You know, speech, there's various ways of understanding speech. And there is a very feminine way of understanding speech under these laws. This concept that you are stirring racial hatred is so ridiculous in light of how people like me and perhaps people like you understand speech. Speech is not what people think. They think it's, oh, you say something to teach or direct people and incite them into a certain direction, and then they go into that direction. Speech to me is as a layer to it that is so much more important than this. Speech is very often, and this is my whole job, speech is very often the things that everyone would want to be said, but they don't have the talent or they don't have the exposure, and so they centralize. They decide to elevate leaders in their nations. These leaders can be media leaders, they can be political leaders, anyone. And they sometimes pay, and you guys pay me through Super Chat, they sometimes pay to hear something. But then the act of speech is not truly from me, it is from the crowds. And for people who take their legitimacy from having a live audience, from having an audience of supporters, it's very important to understand that I'm here to represent reality. And I'm here because some people have chosen that the realities I represent, the realities I stood for historically, were realities that had been forgotten and abandoned by others, that they had been censored, they had been made taboos. So sometimes the act of speech is not meant to even change the state of the listener. Sometimes it is an act of the listener to want his views to be expressed in the best English possible. Well, the best English that a Frenchman can pull. That is it for tonight. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow.